Your five children and two dogs were tenants.
A landlord's losses were adding up.
How many months did he pay rent?
I got the last 3 months of rent. That's it.
Why would you let him stay without paying you rent?
Is there more than meets the eye?
At one point, you moved out.
Yes.
And then you moved back in.
Yes.
So far, I'm hearing a lot of stuff here that's on the shady side.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Nicholas Ivan Sr. is suing his former landlord, 22-year-old Stephen Carney, for damaging and stealing his property and for harassment.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 37 on the calendar, the matter of Ivan versus Carney.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat, please.
Mr. Byron, let me see if I understand your lawsuit correctly. You, your five children, and two dogs were tenants of the defendants in a two-family home. You and your children and dogs lived on the lower level, and the defendant lived above you. So far correct?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm an auto mechanic.
Work for yourself or for someone else?
I work for myself.
You have your own shop?
I use my brother's shop. He owns his own business, auto repair shop.
So is what you're telling me you work for your brother or you work for yourself and share his space? How does that work?
I work on cars for basically for friends and family. And if the weather's bad outside or I need to lift the car up in the air, I use my brother's shop.
How do you support yourself and your five children, sir? That doesn't sound like a regular source of income.
Public assistance.
How much?
I get about $1,100 to $1,200 cash, which pays the rent and bills, and then I get about $800 in food stamps.
And you work on the side doing some auto mechanic work.
Yes.
At your brother's shop. Now, you moved into the defendant's property when?
August of 2012.
How long did you live there?
Until February of this year.
What was your rent there?
$550 a month.
So you lived there for about a year and a half?
Yes, ma'am.
Of those 18 months, how many months did you pay rent?
Every single month.
How many months did he pay rent?
I got the last 3 months of rent. That's it.
Last 3 months, which were what months?
December of 2013. January and February from welfare. They sent me checks.
In what amount?
$550 each.
What do you mean the Department of Welfare sent them to you?
Because I signed a landlord statement for him saying that I'm his landlord so I could collect the rent. Well, I never received
it. Well, just a second.
Okay.
When did you sign that? Because this is interesting. You're suing him for $5,000 for something.
Yes.
Which we'll get to later. I'm just trying to find out where the $5,000 came from.
But I ended up receiving a letter in the mail from welfare stating, as of December 1st, they're changing it, so they mailed the checks to the landlords because people have been scamming the system. So I ended up signing the paper, mailing it back to them, and they sent me a check for December of 2013, January, and February.
Your house at some point was foreclosed?
Yes.
In what month?
In February of this year.
So you received a check for a month when he wasn't living there?
No, he was still living there. He had to be out of there by February, the end of February.
February what?
The middle of February.
He still wasn't there the whole month, but you received a whole month's check?
Yes.
Why would you let him stay in the house for then 15 months without paying you rent?
I've tried evicting him, and down in New York, you have to pay for everything to try to evict people, and I can't afford the bills, mortgage, and everything, and try to pay to evict him without any other income.
What did you do to try to evict him?
I've written him 30-day notices. I've went downtown, had notarized letters, and...
Do you have any copies of those?
I do not.
Well, why not?
Because I went downtown and they couldn't find the records for him.
Your Honor.
Tell me what?
I have landlord statement saying from him saying that rent was paid up until November 1st of 2013.
Listen, so far I'm hearing a lot of stuff here that's on the shady side. Did you ask him to sign a landlord's letter for you?
Yes.
Look at me.
Yes,
look
I needed
me.
It.
Yeah, look at me. You asked him to sign a landlord's letter because they were changing the way they made payments for rent from public assistance, correct?
Yes.
And in order to be eligible to continue to get more money, you had to get your landlord to sign a letter that said that you are a good tenant and that your rent is current, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what you want to show me, also correct? No, that's what you want to show me. The letter that you asked him to write so that you could continue to get more money from welfare for your rent. I don't need to see the letter. Of course he signed it.
I also have a letter from his mother saying, back in April, saying that the rent was paid up till date then also.
Just a second. Did you also present that? Listen to me.
Yes.
Did you also present that letter to welfare?
Yes.
I don't care to see those letters. I know where it's at. Lived there. Done that. Been in that whole system. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, Your Honor.
You know what I'm talking about. So, let's understand each other. You live in New York?
Yes, ma'am.
City, state, upstate, downstate?
Buffalo.
Buffalo. The people of the good state of New York and in Buffalo invested, if I believe you that you paid rent, let's say I believe you. Which is part of what you're suing for, because you say he harassed you, he didn't fix the water pipe, he didn't do a whole bunch of things. They paid your rent. You didn't pay anything. If anybody has a claim against him for being a bad landlord, it's the people of Buffalo.
I'm not suing him for the rent, Your Honor.
Let me understand what your lawsuit is. You're suing him because you say the conditions were intolerable when you lived there, right?
Yes.
So at one point, you moved out.
Yes.
And then you moved back in.
And because we had no other place to go.
Listen, you don't have to do anything. What you can do is get a job full time that you can do and take care of the five children that you made. That you can do, but you don't have to move back into a place that's untenable because it doesn't have running water. Mr. Ivan, you understand what I'm saying to you, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm unsympathetic with the fact that you took your five children back to what you say was an unsafe environment after you had already moved out.
We hadn't moved out.
Well, you told me that you left.
Yeah, we had rented a trailer at a campground for 2 months because there was no hot water.
When you rented the trailer for 2 months, did you pay Mr. Carney the rent for those 2 months?
No, I did not.
Of course not. Then you moved out. If you and your children moved out of the property and didn't pay him rent for those 2 months, then you moved out. And whatever you left there, which is the other part of your lawsuit, gone.
We were still living there. We would stay there.
No, you weren't living there, sir, if you're not paying rent. You don't pay rent, you don't live there.
Me and Stephen had an agreement that because he wasn't going to fix the water, that I didn't have to pay rent there, and that we were looking for another apartment while we were out at the campground.
Mr. Ivan, I am going to give you a piece of advice. You seem like an intelligent young man. You've made five children. Their ages are from what to what?
14 down to 7.
And you are a single parent?
Yes.
Who is this person?
It is my fiancé.
A single parent with a fiancé. Does she have children?
We have three children together.
So where was she living?
She at her mother's house. She would stay.
Mr. Ivan, I believe you this much. I mean, you may think that you're speaking to some welfare official that's going to come and check on the condition of the money, but I got news for you. I actually went to law school. So you may put over your scam with your fiancé, with whom you have three children, and don't work, but work sometimes out of your brother's garage, and are looking to scam the system over rent. I am not going to be a co-conspirator in that. I'm going to give you a good piece of advice. Get a job. And instead of trying to come here and waste your time suing your former landlord for not returning your copper pipe that you put in the house, use your efforts to buy a newspaper and look under Help Wanted. I can't help you. Goodbye.
Oh, adios. Excuse me, step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Richardson versus Crooker. Step forward.
25-year-old Casey Richardson is suing former friend Jessica Crooker for the return of the money he paid for a car she sold him. Casey says Jessica lied about having the title.
Mr. Richardson, you purchased a car from the defendant.
Correct.
Purchase price of the car was $600. Is
correct.
That correct. And you made payments, I think, in the total amount of your payments were $500?
Correct.
So far, is that right?
Yes.
You don't have the title to the car.
No, ma'am.
That's what the case is about.
Yes.
Because you have a car that you claim that you can't register.
Right.
And you can't register it because the defendant allegedly lost the title to the car, which she received as a gift from someone. That's what she says. And she never registered the car. She doesn't know where the title is. It's off in title heaven.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
What good is it if she gives you a notarized letter that she lost the title? They say, who cares if you lost the title? Where's the owner of the car?
The
somewhere
in Kansas.
along with Dorothy and Toto.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 25-year-old Casey Richeson is suing former friend Jessica Crooker for the return of the money he paid for a car she sold him. Casey says Jessica lied about having the title.
Now, as far as you know, the car could have been a stolen car. Do you understand, Miss Crooker?
Well, I have proof that it was actually given to me.
Great. Where's the title if it was given to
you? The title was sent to me, and when I moved in transition, I lost it. I lost the original bill of sale, so he sent me a new one.
Fine. In what jurisdiction do you live?
Yakima, Washington.
And where do you live?
Metolius, Oregon.
How far is that?
It's about a 3.5-hour drive, is all I know.
Okay. So if you went down to motor vehicles with the plaintiff, how easy do you think it would be to get a new title?
Well, I asked him to come up to Yakima so then I could do that with him.
Where you are, but he lives in a different state. He doesn't want to register the car in your state.
The car is from Yakima, Washington.
So what?
He said that he can't get a title unless he goes up to Yakima, Washington. That is what him himself has said.
Is that right?
No, ma'am. I had to explain to her that I had talked to the Department of Licensing in Washington. They had then told me that I have to get the registered owner of the vehicle to sign a paper saying the title is lost, confirming that it's lost, and have it notarized. And then once that paperwork is obtained, I can take that to the Washington DMV, and I can get a title in Washington, which will be sent to my address here in Oregon.
Where are the people who gave you the car?
He is in Kansas.
Well, what is Mr. Richardson supposed to do with a car that he can't register?
He knew full-headedly beforehand that the car did not have... Ahead of time that there was no title for the car. Well, I was going to post it on Craigslist.
Just a second. Tell me about how he knew that there was no title.
I told him that I had lost the title. I did not know where it was. And that he would have to get that himself because I...
Just a second. Well, that's an easy thing. Is that what you told him? I don't know where the title is. I lost it.
Yes, I don't have
it. Is that what she told you?
No, ma'am. She told me that she had the title and that it was in her camper that she had at her residence before she moved.
That is not true.
Okay, but did she ever tell you that the car was a gift to her that she never registered?
No, ma'am.
That is absolutely right, because that's not what you said. You said, I lost the title.
My father was witness to this.
Just a second. No, she's hustling. Because that's sort of nebulous. If I lost the title, well, then that's easy. Then she goes to motor vehicles. She says, I lost the title. I give you a notarized statement. I lost the title. But if the car was never in her name, what good is it if she gives you a notarized letter that she lost the title? They say, who cares if you lost the title? Where's the owner of the car? Somewhere
in Kansas.
Along with Dorothy and Toto.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He knew that there was not a title.
That's not the issue, Miss Crooker. Aren't you paying attention? If you take the hair away, maybe you'll hear me.
And later today...
Who signed this contract?
I did.
And I assumed that you would have read it before you signed it.
Actually, I signed the contract thinking that was a receipt.
I don't care. What difference does that make?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 25-year-old Casey Richeson is suing former friend Jessica Crooker for the return of the money he paid for a car she sold him. Casey says Jessica lied about having the title.
Go ahead.
In this bill of sale right here, he wrote up himself. That's why it states nothing about a title, because there was no title to be said.
Listen to me. It doesn't have to say anything about a title. A title is a given. Miss Crooker, it doesn't say anything about the car having four wheels and a drive shaft either, does it?
No, you buy the car
as is. It doesn't, just to say, you buy the car as is. Absolutely. You're not making any guarantees or warranties with regard to its wearability, its drivability, how many miles it has on it. You're buying it as is. It's like when you buy a house. The bill of sale to a mobile home either says or doesn't say that it comes with a plot of land. If it's on land, it doesn't say it's going to be sitting on land and grass. It's a given that you sell a car, you have the authority to sell the car. So this is what I'm going to tell you, sir. You keep the car, because I think she's a hustler.
Okay.
I'm going to give you $300.
Okay.
You're going to spend that $300 to take the trip to and from. She's going to give you all her paperwork. Bird, would you make a transfer of all that paperwork from her side to his side? everything.
That's all I've got. The other stuff is
everything
from my bank
that's
account.
There.
He knew that there was not a title.
That's not the issue, Miss Crooker. Aren't you paying attention? If you take the hair away, maybe you'll hear me. I said he knew that there was no title because you didn't give him a title. But if you have something that shows me that you were not the owner of the car and he knew you didn't have a title, that I'll look at.
That's something the bill of sale right there from Corey to me giving me possession of the car.
Just a second. You had that. He didn't have that.
I told him I had it.
Nah.
Yes, I did. I told him I had it.
I'm awarding you $300. See if you can get it. If you can't, take the car and the $300, junk the car. You'll get $200 for junk for the car, right?
Somewhere around there, yeah. But there's a problem with junking it. I can't junk it without a title either.
I guarantee you, you'll find somebody who'll junk the car for you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Parties are excused. May step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Espinoza versus Diaz-Bladen. Step forward.
Party store owner Luis Espinoza and his wife, Jennifer Roberts, are suing Shirley Diaz and her husband, Ernest Bladen, for the cost of a missing bounce house.
Mr. and Mrs. Espinoza, you own a party rental company.
Yes, ma'am.
The defendants rented your bouncy house or whatever you call it. What do you call it?
Bounce house.
They had their party on what date?
August 3rd.
And it was not the first time you had rented from the Espinozas.
No.
And the bounce house was supposed to be picked up the next day on the 4th.
That's correct, ma'am.
And when you went there on the 4th, it was gone.
That's correct.
Someone had stolen it, and you want the defendants to be responsible for the cost of it, the
That's
replacement
correct.
Cost. Do you have a contract with them?
Yes, we do.
I'd like to see the contract. Well, this is pretty clear. Who signed this contract?
I did.
And I assume that you would have read it before you signed it.
Actually, I signed the contract and didn't read it completely.
Well, that's your problem. You had a chance to read it.
Yeah, I had a chance to read it, but at the same time, I signed the contract thinking that was a receipt.
I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. This is a contract that you signed. It forms the basis of your agreement, along with the cost of the bounce house. It says responsibility for the equipment, which is the bounce house, remains with the customer, that's you, from the time of receipt, which is when it was dropped off on the 3rd, to the time of its return. Client will be charged the full replacement cost of all missing items, repair costs, or full replacement cost for all damaged items. What is there that you don't understand about this contract?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, your contract says that until the property is returned to them, whatever the property is, unfold your arms. Whatever it is that you have rented from them remains your responsibility until it is returned to their hands. And if it is returned to their hands damaged, you have to pay for that. If it's not returned to their hands because it was destroyed, stolen, misplaced, it's hard to misplace a bounce house, but you know, you can rent things that can be misplaced. It's not funny, sir. It's a contract.
It's contract, clear. But we have rented from them before, and we specifically told them that we wasn't going to be there. They knew that we wasn't going to be
Don't
there.
Don't tell me what they knew. This is the parameters of your contract, written contract. And if there's anything that's other than in this contract, it has to be under the law in the same formality as this contract, which means in writing and signed by both people. So under the terms of your written contract, you have to pay them replacement value of the bounce house, which is how much?
$2,174.55.
Judgment for the plaintiff, $2,174.55. Thank you.
Thank you. Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Tell me what you did.
I'd like to know myself,
Tell
Your
me
Honor.
He turned around, put his back to me, dropped his pants. That's what I'm talking about, moron.
Next Judge Judy.
I just feel like this time, because we told them that we was not going to be at home, all of a sudden the jumper was stolen.
We lose twice. We lose a jumper and we lose a great customer.
We heard a vehicle in the backyard, but we didn't tend to get up because normally they come early, because I told them specifically that we were leaving early and they told me to leave the gate open.
You're ultimately responsible till the equipment is picked up. Don't just assume that something you rent doesn't have value, because it does.